Hey, everybody, I'm back. It's episode 50. Sorry for the long break between episodes. And sadly, I don't have a guest for this podcast. I was kind of waiting around to try to do that, but I've been too busy or lazy or whatever. Pick your excuse. I haven't been able to get the guest lined up for the podcast, so that didn't happen. And I didn't want to wait too much longer before releasing an update episode. So that's what this is. This is just an update episode to tell you about what I've been up to. Mainly lately, that is just the world of coffee scoops, forged coffee scoops. So after Blade Show, I was trying to think about how I could go about adding some new products to my website. And I've had a lot of luck with the forged steak turners, because I think that's a much wider audience than some of the things that I'd been making. So anyway, based on the success I've had in the last year with you know, those grilling tools, I thought, well, let's stay in that lane for a little while and let's work on maybe some other utensils. And so I just went to Google and did a search for forged kitchen utensils. And I really didn't have an idea about what I wanted to do, but I saw, you know, some forks and different kinds of ladles. And anyway, you know, I saw a bunch of different things, and I saw a bunch of different utensils that were made from copper and steel. And so I started looking in that direction, and I found these ladles that were made from copper and steel, and some that were made from stainless steel. And I really liked the look of the copper and steel, but I didn't have any on hand. So I had a little piece of brass out in the shop that was sitting right beside the fly press. And so I pressed that down in the fly press and then forged out a little handle for it and riveted it together and made my first little spoon. It was like a 1 tablespoon, maybe even a teaspoon. It's pretty small. It's like the little bowl on the brass, the first brass scoop was like just over 1 inch in diameter. So it was a really small spoon, and it actually makes a really nice flux spoon. So that's what it's currently being used for. But anyway, it was basically just a quick project to kind of work out basic tooling for doing larger versions of spoons or scoops. And so I found some stainless in the shop, and I thought, well, this will be good material to try, because it was about 1/8 inch thick. It was some stainless that I'd bought years ago to try to do some liner lock pocket knives. And so anyway, it was sitting around. I started looking at the swage block that I had and the different spoon indentions, or, you know, dishing indentions that I had in it, to try to get an idea of what I could do with the tooling that I had on hand. And one of my swage blocks is a Laurel Machine and Foundry swage block, which is that's a company here in Laurel, Mississippi, that does steel and foundry work. And at one time they were producing anvils, and you've probably heard me talk about LMF anvils and stuff in the past. Laurel Machine made a small run of anvils in the 90s, and then they quit. And so they're kind of a collector's item anvil, in my opinion, especially here in Mississippi, because they're anvils that were produced, you know, by a Mississippi company. So anyway, I've got two of those Laurel Machine and Foundry anvils, and then I've got this swage block. But one side of the swage block has some circular swages, fairly deep. One I think is like 5 inches in diameter. There's a fairly small 1.5 inch diameter, and then there's a 2.5 inch diameter. And so I cut some circular discs from the stainless that matched the 2.5 inch diameter swage dishing form that I had. And I mounted that block underneath the big number 8 Sweeney and Bloxage fly press. And I cut one of those discs out and I pressed it down, you know, just to kind of see what kind of shape it would make. And I found that I had to move from the from the 2.5, well, from the smaller swage to the slightly larger swage, and then kind of rotate the disc around. And I made a YouTube video that shows this process. I strapped a GoPro to my head and made this first person forging video. So if you're interested, that's on my YouTube channel right now. But anyway, so the first stainless discs that I cut out actually turned out pretty good. Made a nice, you know, little round bowl that holds a bit over 2 tablespoons. And so I thought, well, this might make a good coffee grounds scoop. And so I looked around to try to find what material I had in the shop that might make a nice handle. And I thought that it would be pretty cool to use some old wrought iron for the handle. And so I took some half inch square wrought iron bar that I had gotten a few years ago for making crosses, the split crosses. And I flattened that out into some 3/4 by 1/4 flat bar, and then cut that into little sections about 4 inches long. And then I proceeded to forge out my first handle from that wrought iron. And it took me a few days to, or a few tries to kind of work out the tooling and the forging steps to get to where I had a handle shape that I liked. But in the end, I wound up with a handle shape that I really like. And it's, I mean, it's, if you go to your kitchen and pull out a fork or a spoon, it's the general shape of that handle. I mean, it's a pretty, you know, it's a long taper that kind of gently widens to a fat point at the end. And then I pop a hole in the end and, you know, put a little leather lanyard on there so that you can hang it up. But so anyway, I worked out the tooling over the period of about a week. I worked out making some round ball stakes to go in the hardy hole of my anvil and some things to use under the drill press for drilling holes. And, you know, I think I made about a dozen of those before I was really comfortable with the process of how to move around between the tooling in the shop, you know, to make a coffee scoop start to finish from wrought iron and copper, or wrought iron and stainless, and to do it quickly. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about in this episode, was how I kind of went about this, and, you know, realizing that this is basically product development. You know, this is kind of how businesses on a larger scale go through the steps to figure out how to make their product faster and more efficiently, and, you know, with less money. And and so anyway, that's been fun. It's been really fun to not only add a new product to the website, but to really kind of refine the way I go about new product development. And so for the coffee scoop, the way that worked was, you know, I had an idea, I researched the idea, I developed the tooling, or I did a test piece to see, you know, if I needed to make more tooling, and I did. And so after making the test piece, I made some new tooling, which made the second one, the second prototype, it made it even better. And then as I worked through the first few prototype products, you know, I found that instead of maybe, I found out the proper order of operation, you know, and so I found out what works best to end up with a good product in as, you know, a short amount of time as possible. So I posted that YouTube video, and I caught some flack from some people because I was using so much equipment to make such a simple item. So I'm making a spoon, right? But to make that spoon, I'm using not one, but 2 different fly presses. I'm using a tire hammer. I use my hydraulic press, and I use 2 different 2x72 belt grinders and a bench grinder with 2 different wheels on it. So I'm using like 8 or 9 pieces of equipment in the shop, not counting hammer and anvil and post vise and that kind of stuff. Oh, and I'm using the treadle hammer too as part of it. So I'm using all of the different pieces of power forging equipment in the shop, except for the 88. I'm not using the ST Anyang 88 power hammer for this particular product, but I'm using all this crazy equipment to make this really simple spoon. And I had a couple of people comment and send me messages and say, oh, you know, I think one guy said something like, I sure would like to make a coffee scoop, but I don't have all that fancy equipment. And, you know, that kind of stuff kind of gets under my skin a little bit because people just think that I threw down, you know, a ton of money all at one time and bought this equipment without really working for it and gathering it over a period of time. And two, you know, it's a little aggravating that they're not realizing that I'm using all this crazy equipment, not because I have to, but because it makes the process faster. And that leads to another point, which is, I think there's this idea that if a person is using all this crazy equipment to make something simple, that they're somehow, that person is somehow missing the boat or missing the fun of forging. You know, they're missing the quote old ways of doing things, you know, and that's not it at all. Well, I mean, that might be it in that person's perspective, but for me, you know, I've done the hand forging and I know how to do that. And that's not my focus right now. My focus is developing a web business based around blacksmithing that's sustainable and profitable and works for me with the resources I have and the time that I have available and takes advantage of all the equipment that I've gathered over the year. I feel like if I'm not using all the equipment that I've got to the fullest extent, then why have it, you know? And so anyway, back to the product development thing. I don't know why I ran down that little side rabbit trail, but so the product development cycle here for the coffee scoop, you know, I went through the prototyping and the tool development, and then, you know, I finally got to a point where I was comfortable with it and figured that I could make a coffee scoop in about the same amount of time that it takes me to make, you know, one of the steak turners. And so I went ahead and listed them for sale on the website in small batches where, you know, I was just listing 5 or 6 at a time and found out that I could handle that workload, you know, when I had time to be in the shop and fulfill those orders. And so it's been really rewarding to go through that and to kind of learn how to do that product development cycle, you know, with my little small business, because I'm not a business major. I didn't go to school for business. I didn't learn product development. And I'm sure there's a lot of other ways to do that kind of stuff. You know, there's all kinds of corporate manufacturing efficiency methodologies like, there's some Japanese things I'm thinking of now, like the 5S or the lean manufacturing method, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that those things are helpful, but I haven't had any formal training in that. And so for me, doing this kind of product development it's a learning experience, and I'm having just as much fun learning those kinds of processes as I am doing the actual forging and the making. In some ways, I think I'm having a little more fun learning how to do this kind of stuff than the forging. And that's kind of weird, but that's where I'm at right now. And so anyway, that's been a lot of fun, and it's been a successful thing, and it's now added as a standard item on my website, which means I'm going to set reminders to make sure that I have all the materials on hand to keep those things in production. And eventually the wrought iron that I've got for the handles is going to run out. So I'm going to have to figure out something else. I'll either use a different source of wrought iron or maybe switch over to stainless steel for the handles or something. But anyway, it's really excited me to start looking at doing more product development and more expansion of things on the website. And so I want to try and add, you know, I've kind of got this loose goal set in my head that I want to add one product a month to the website. So that's got me thinking now, what kind of other things can I make that will fit into the same kind of time frame and equipment usage as the things that I've already got listed on the website. And so the kitchen utensil kind of stuff seems to be a really good direction for me to go in. So I think that's probably where I'm going to stay for a little while. But who knows, you know, I want to look around and see what I think will make a good fit on the website. I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but I wanted to kind of catch you up on the whole coffee scoop saga and kind of fill you in on my thought process behind it. I don't know, maybe that'll help somebody. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So I'm going to let that wrap up this segment for this part of the podcast. I'll probably record one or two more. Thanks. Bye. Hey, what's up? It's Saturday, July 18th. No, it's Sunday. Today is Sunday, July 18th, and it's kind of early in the morning. It's about 6:30, and I'm out taking Biscuit for a walk down the street. And I just wanted to catch you up on the last few days. So this is most of this week in the shop. I was making coffee scoops and further refining some of the tooling for that. So I changed up one of the ways I was making the handles. I started involving another fly press in that operation to do the handle work, to draw the handles out. It's actually faster for me to do a couple of squishes on the fly press than it is to use the hydraulic press, because the hydraulic press, I have to be a lot more careful with it. So I was having to take a lot smaller bites on the fly press to do that. And I mean, on the hydraulic press, then on the fly press. On the fly press, I can just stick the little piece that I'm turning into a handle in there and make a few quick bumps that are a lot more controlled. And then move right beside that to the tire hammer and forge it out, you know, draw it out a little bit. And so I'm continuing to make changes to how I do it. And what I've started doing is, I think I've talked about my Forge Notes notebook before, but I've got a notebook that I keep in the shop. And I've got a page in there for each product on my website. And I write notes down in the Forge Notes book whenever I make a change to a process. And so I went back and kind of changed the process for the coffee scoops a little bit and updated my notes there. And seems to have made it just a little bit faster. And so, you know, the more I make a thing, the better I get at making it faster. So that's been fun. Then the other thing that took up a good bit of time this week was getting ready for an event I did yesterday at my church. We had something called a man event, which is basically just a men's fellowship, you know, a time where we just have the guys get together and we do like a Bible study. And then I think last year at the man event, we had some games and stuff we did outside. Like we had some, last year we had pugil sticks, you know, those, they're big, big batons with pads on the end, and you put helmets on and you beat each other up. And so we did that at church last year. That was pretty fun.
among other things. But this year we had like cornhole boards set up, and you know, we grilled out, and then this year I brought like half my blacksmith shop to the church, and I let the guys do some forging. So I spent some time this week cutting up a bunch of stuff for making crosses. And so each one of the guys was able to, what is Biscuit doing? Biscuit, come on. No, he's rolling in something in the street. Sorry. You know how dogs are. They find something stinky and they want to roll around in it. He must have found something in the road. I turned around and looked behind me, and he's just rolling on his back in the middle of the street. So anyway, sorry. I spent this week cutting up steel, and I cut up 50 pieces of half-inch square for split crosses. You know, the same kind of crosses that I make on my website. But then I also had to make up some tongs, because I realized that the tongs that I was using when I do my split crosses were not very big, they were not very beginner friendly, so to speak. So I ordered 4 sets of rapid tongs from Ken's Custom Iron. And if you don't know about Ken's Custom Iron and rapid tongs, go to Google, search for Ken's, K-E-N-S, Custom Iron, and check out their tongs. They make, I think they're CNC or laser cut blanks for tongs, all different kinds of tongs, that you can very quickly forge the bits and bolt together and make some tongs in just a matter of minutes. And so I ordered 4 sets of these bolt tongs and forged the bits out so that they would hold the half-inch square stock. So I forged the bits so they would hold the half-inch square stock flat bar, not the half square hole. You know, I forged the bits so that they had a little cutout so that when the cross was open, it would hold that flat half inch by a quarter inch material. And you can still hold the half inch square bar on the diamond with these. But anyway, I had to make up 4 of those pairs of tongs, which didn't take too long. And then I made 2 new wooden mallets, because I use wooden mallets when I'm forging those crosses out. And then I had to get all my equipment together. It's been a while since I've taken my show on the road, so to speak. So I had to kind of figure out what equipment I was going to take. So I took 3 anvils, 3 forges, and I took my main post vise stand. I took it with me, which also has a rack for hammers and tongs and stuff like that. And I loaded all that up in the trailer and took that into the church. And yesterday it was raining cats and dogs like all day long. And I was just not sure it was going to really work out. And at the last minute, the rain cleared up and I was able to load everything up and get to the church. And boy, it was nice. I got to church and just this pile of guys came out and helped me unload. I think I unloaded the trailer in like a minute. and then we set up at the church, and we had about 40 guys, I think. And after our Bible study, we all went outside and we started forging. So I did an example. You know, I showed everybody how to forge the cross open, and how I do the texturing, and how I use the different equipment. You know, how I use the hot cut, and how I use the vise for straightening. And after I did one, then we would let about 4 to 5 guys come through and do theirs at a time. And as the first group went through, then those guys who wanted to stayed behind to help the other people come through. And it went pretty smooth. It was a lot of fun. And everybody had a blast. It was kind of flattering. Nobody really wanted to play any of the other games or activities that we had there during the day. Everybody wanted to be outside around the forging. And so that's pretty much all we did, was hang out and forge together. So it was a lot of fun. It was a whole lot of fun. And it was very interesting to see some of the guys kind of have these eye-opening moments about, you know, the parallels between forging and the life of a Christian. And so anyway, now I gotta wait for Biscuit again, sorry. So I had done this for another church last year, and it was a big success. And since then, I've talked to some other guys that kind of do this as an activity for churches, and it seems to be a really popular thing. And of course, guys really love it. And one thing that was really great is that we got some guys to come out yesterday and to hang out that had never come to any other events at the church. And so it was pretty neat to see how blacksmithing and forging, you know, brought these guys out of their shell. And, you know, it was kind of interesting to watch. It's been a while since I've taught a blacksmithing centric class. And so it was kind of interesting to see who picked up on it fast and who really struggled with it. And, it's always fun to watch the process and see the guys that really take to it, and then to look at the guys that have a hard time with it and figure out why they're having a hard time. And almost universally, the guys that have a hard time, they're having a hard time manipulating the tongs, you know. And so that really got me to thinking about how important it is when teaching to spend time on tong manipulation. You know, you hear people talk about hammer control and where to hold the hammer and what kind of hammer and how heavy of a hammer. You hear endless discussions about that, but you very rarely hear people talk about how you should hold your tongs, you know, how to manipulate them with one hand, how heavy your tongs should be, how long they should be. And it was really interesting yesterday to see, you know, I had the four pair of the quick or the rapid bolt tongs, and then I had a few other pair of tongs. And it was really interesting to see how some of the new guys were struggling with different kinds of tongs. And I was really happy I got the bolt tongs, because they seem to be they seem to be a really great option for a good all-around tong. Because with a bolt tong, you can shape those so that they can hold flat bar, round bar, square bar, you know. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. I was absolutely whipped by the end of the day, because I spent a good bit of time this week getting ready, and then I spent all day yesterday from the time I got up until the time I loaded the trailer. I spent all day getting ready for that event. I had to forge out. I found out that I didn't have a third hot cut for one of the anvils I was taking, so I had to make a hot cut kind of at the last minute yesterday. So I had to cut a chunk of 1045 and really quickly forge it into a hot cut. And so I took that with me. I took the three anvils I took a 45-pound petting house, a little small German anvil. It was a little teeny tiny anvil. And then I took a 96-pound Peter Wright and about 125-pound Kolswa anvil. And so the Kolswa and the Peter Wright, I had big wooden bases for those. But I didn't have a base made for the little German petting house anvil. So I grabbed my striking anvil yesterday, and I tack welded some little pieces of angle iron to the top of the striking anvil face so that that little anvil wouldn't jump around. And that worked out great. That worked out really, really good. And it'll be easy to knock those tabs, those little angle iron tabs off of there and clean up those tacks. That won't be a problem at all. But it made me think about going ahead and building some stands, some mobile vice stands, so to speak, some smaller stands out of steel tubing to have ready for doing these kinds of events again. Because I had such a great time doing this. I really think I'm going to try to put some feelers out to see about doing this at other churches, because I think it was just such a great event, and it was a lot of fun to do, and I could really tell that the guys really enjoyed it. So anyway, I'm trying to think of what all else I did. By the time I got home last night, it was about 8 o'clock or so. By the time I was home, I was completely wiped out. So I just unloaded just a few things that I didn't want to sit outside, mainly the gas forges. I put those back in the shop. And so today, later today, I got to get back in the shop and unload some stuff from the trailer, set my post vise stand back up, and get back into coffee scoop production mode. I've set those as available items now on my website, so I've got orders coming in for those pretty much every day. So I've got to get a bunch of scoops made over the next few days. But that's my world. That's what I've been up to, and that's probably going to wrap up episode 50. So I still want to do another interview sometime soon. Not sure who I'm going to talk to about that, but I'll do one pretty soon. So anyway, thanks. See ya. Well, there you go. That's a quick episode 50. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the listen. I'll see you next time. Maybe I'll have an interview. Maybe I won't. Who knows? See you later. Bye.